Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. We just love on you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Because you have commanded us, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's right, Lord. We love you. We love you because you first loved us, even while we were yet sinners. When we didn't even know the love of God, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and that's you. And so, Lord, we love on you today. We love on you. Praise the Lord. Now, as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light. To God be the glory. Entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I ask, Lord, that you shed that light into our hearts today. Grant us that understanding. God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk today on pressing forward, going farther, and climbing or moving higher in every dimension that you can think of, but mostly in spiritual things, but also in our lives as well. See, we can't really separate, you know, when we separate our lives, you know, we got one religious life, we got one secular life, you know, then that doesn't work. We're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings. One life, you know, and in that life, Jesus is Lord of all. And that's why we put him first and every other thing behind. It's not, you know, when I'm in my religious zone, I'm doing the things of the Lord. And when I'm over here in my secular zone, then I'm doing whatever I'm doing. No. We're spiritual beings, not even religious beings, but spiritual beings. And we're made in the image of God to function like God. God doesn't have different zones. You know, one day he's that God. Today he's this God. No. He's God, always the same. So today we're going to talk on this subject of pressing forward. We want to press forward. Now, remember when we were just concluded deep dive study through the book of Philippians, we got into that point. I want to bring it all together today as we are looking forward to this event that's coming up here in just a week. What are you expecting? The Lord, there's many things the Lord has told us on this platform over the years. So let's see if we can bring it all together. Some of the key texts or references behind a subject title like this would be, of course, Philippians chapter 3. You know, let's pick it up from verse 10. And this was one of the memory verses that we gave when we did that chapter. You know, so let's take a look at it again and see the application of this and other scriptures that we will look at today. In fact, I thought in my heart to do this. The Lord really let me know that I cannot finish this in one lesson, so I may make it a mini series. That's why you see part one there, and it's going to be good. So we should pay attention. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from King James, of course, you know that. And let's start at verse 10. You know, that I may know him. And we talked about that quite a bit. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, Moses was a man that prayed that prayer powerfully. You know, he said, Lord, show me thy way that I may know thee. Well, you know, so we find out that to know him is to know his ways. You know, not just to see his acts, you know. The children of Israel, they saw its acts, but they didn't really know the Lord like that. you know, and for many of them, didn't end very well. Those that came out of Egypt, that is. But Moses, he sought to know his ways, not just his acts. And the psalmist would record that later and said, well, to the children of Israel, the Lord showed his acts, you know, but to Moses, he showed his ways. Well, because Moses wanted to know his ways. And to know his ways or to know him is really to know his ways. I mean, how does God function? How does he think? You know, because that's the way we must be. We're made and created in the image of God. We need to have this, we have to be on this journey of constant discovery of the things of God. You know, what is it? You know, Jesus said that, look, a man, you know, after all his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount and so forth, at the end, he said, look, any scribe that is instructed into the kingdom is like a man, a householder, you know, that now he discovered in his house that he's got treasures, old and now new. See, he had some old stuff before. Now he's discovering more stuff and more stuff all the time. The analogy I often give, which some of you, I'm sure you've heard before, you know, is this discovery that you must go, you know, you must embark on when you go to Magic Kingdom or Disneyland and you get inside the turnstiles. You've paid the entry fee or whatever, and now you're there. Now, you can enter through the turnstile and say, wow, I'm at Magic Kingdom. Oh my, I mean, these are theme parks here in the United States, in case those who are overseas. Oh, wow, I'm now at Disneyland. And then you just stay there, you know. No, but you haven't discovered anything. You haven't experienced anything yet just because you entered through the doors or through the turnstile and you paid the fee. That doesn't mean you've experienced anything. You just stay there. No, nobody does that. In fact, if you go with little kids, as soon as you enter, unless you are hook grabbing onto their hands, they are dashing through. They want to go. Say, no, hold on. Stay right here with daddy or grandpa. You know, so you must discover. Now, by the grace of God, we have entered. What is the entrance? Well, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He also said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 and later, he said, look, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Can't even see it. Can't even smell it. So being born again, therefore, is the portal, is the door to discovery of the kingdom. You know, you can't enter in, Jesus said, unless you're born again. So it looks like that born again is the door that you got to pass through in order to get into the kingdom. But if you are now born again and you think that that's it, then you've missed out on a lot of things that we can discover. A lot of things. And many of us were born again sitting around waiting to go to heaven because our instructors said, well, give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. Well, that's doing a lot of disservice to the message of the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ. That's doing disservice to that. If it's give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. Jesus prayed the opposite. In John chapter 17, verse 15, Now, I've taught these things multiple times. I'm just bringing it to make a complete study here. And in case somebody is hearing for the first time, Jesus prayed and said, Father, I pray not that you take them to away from the earth, but that you keep them, because they got a job to do. Now, as I've often said, if the goal was to give our life to Christ and go to heaven, then Jesus wouldn't pray like that. You can read it for yourself in John 17 and verse 15. I pray not that you take them away from the earth. Well, Jesus should have been praying, you know, that the Father should take us out from the world as soon as we give our life to Christ. He didn't pray like that at all. So that means there is a gap and discovery of many things that we miss out on because we have this concept of we give our life to Christ and then we're waiting around to go to heaven. No, that's not the way it is. Now, in the things of the kingdom, in the things of the spirit, in the things of the world, there's so many things to discover. Look, let's talk about natural things. First, that was natural. You know, the natural comes first, then the spiritual. So let's talk about even natural things. Even nature teaches us that, you know, there must always be advancement in everything. You know, if you plant seed and the seed is not growing, well, you're not going to be happy about that. If you have a child and they are not growing, and they have this so-called stunted growth or whatever, nobody's going to be happy about that. I mean, 1 year, 2 years after you have the child, they still can't talk. They can't walk. They can't even crawl. They can't even sit up. Well, the parents are going to be in great distress, I promise you. You know, so, but, you know, what about in the kingdom? You know, why must we continue to be the same way that we were? We got to keep pressing forward. There must be growth all the time. Again, in natural things, we go through this growth process. The child is developing. After a while, they're no longer a child like that. You know, they're going through trainer pants. After a while, they don't even need that. They've grown out of that. Doesn't matter how much liquid they drink before they go to bed now. They're not going to have an accident, but they've grown out of that. They keep growing. They keep developing. Well, we send them to school. You know, I go through many levels of school. They don't, you know, they're not done just because they've gone through preschool or nursery or grade school or whatever. They're not done yet. I keep going. After grade school, they got to go to middle school. After that, they got to go to high school. After that, they got to go to college. I mean, we just keep going in life. Well, you know, it is sad that we don't do the same things when it comes to the kingdom. You know, most people settle for status quo. We're okay. You know, well, not because we want to be like that, but we just don't know. See, we don't know that there is so much more to discover, you know, and so we're just like that. But no, there are so much more to discover. Paul said, look, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. You know, glory follow that resurrection. Being made conformable unto his death. We covered all these things in the lesson before. But here is the part that I want to do today. By any means, attain to the resurrection of the dead. We covered that. Not as though I already attained or already made perfect. But I follow after. This is the part. I follow after, if I may apprehend, comprehend, understand, you know, and so forth, you know, that the things that God has put in store for us. Jesus would say to the people sometimes, if you would only know the things that belong to your peace and the day of your visitation. Now, many times people don't know that. Brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as think that they have attained, well, mind the same rule. There's still much more. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you haven't known yet. It doesn't matter what you've known. There's still a lot that you haven't known. There is still a lot that you haven't known. You heard my analogy of taking a bucket to the ocean or bringing a barrel or bringing a tanker. There's still plenty more from that ocean, you know, where that water that you picked came from. You know, there's still much more to discover. Well, let us press forward. Therefore, what does this press forward mean? Well, let's go into this story of Ezekiel 47. These are popular stories that everybody knows, and I've done a lot of teachings around these things, but I want to bring it together here for us to know why we're coming into the September to Remember conference. In Ezekiel 47, we see this experience of pressing forward, going farther, you know. So that's what we see in that story. And the Lord was allowing the prophet to enact this thing, teach us a lesson. The angel of the Lord, I was showing him these things. He said, brought me again to the house of the Lord, the door. And the waters issued forth under the threshold of the house eastward. From the forefront of the heart toward the east, the waters came down from under the right hand. He was describing what he saw. You know, then, you know, at this time, he was right at the, on the brinks of the river was where he started. So the man, you know, had a measuring line in his hand. So he went out and measured 1,000 cubits. A cubit is like 18 inches. Measured 1,000 of that. That's a long distance. And then he said, he brought me to that place after he measured 1,000 cubits. Now he started out on the brink of the river. After the man brought him 1,000 cubits farther along in the river, he found that the water was up to his ankles now. The water was barely grazing his heels at first, as he was just standing on the brinks. And then, you know, the vision continued. The man measured another, and while he was still wondering, well, this water has gone to my ankles now. The man measured another 1,000 cubits, said, come with me. And he counts and he sees that the water is now up to his knees. He said, oh my goodness. And then the man does the thing again, measured again. And he went through another experience. And now he finds the water is up to his hips. Then again, the man does it. The water is now up to his shoulders. After another 1,000 cubits and so on and so forth. And then 1,000 cubits he measured. The water is over the man's head now. He can't even wade in the water. He has to swim. So after all of that, the man brings him back to the brink of the river and say, you know, son of man, you know, like the Lord will say to them sometimes, consider what you have seen. It's basically what this experience, what does it mean? And he told him something powerful, you know, this experience that you've been through, this river that you've been through, there's a purpose of this river. He said, look, and it shall come to pass in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9, that every living thing that moveth whithersoever these rivers shall come, shall leave. And there shall be a great multitude of fish. That's like a tremendous revival. A great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything where this river comes into shall come alive. Well, Not when you were standing on the brink. You're not going to experience that. In order for you to experience and hear this declaration of what's coming, you had to go through all of that. He didn't hear it when he was on the brink of the river. Take him through all that experience and bring him back and then narrate to him what it all means. You got to go through some stuff. You can't stand here. You got to go deeper. You got to go farther. You got to push more, you know. And the deeper the water was getting, the harder it was to walk through it or to push through it. I mean, you know, but you got to go through. You got to go through. And finally, when he went through all of that, it was explaining to him something that is going to happen. And the Lord is always like that. He wants us think more, see more, you know, expect more. I mean, don't just, you know, be like where you were. You know, the Lord brought Abraham out in Genesis 13, you know, after that Lord had separated from, you know, the story of their servants fighting over land and so forth. And as they multiplied, you know, Abraham says to the Lord, okay, fine. We don't need to do this. We're family. But since our servants can't get along, well, why don't you choose, you know, you look this way, pick the left, I'll go right. If you pick right, I'll go left. If you pick north, I'll go south. Whatever, just pick. So Lot, of course, chooses what he thought was the best, and he leaves. Fine. Abraham, no problem. So, and then after that Lot was departed from him, Abraham had this experience. Genesis 13, we read in verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, you know, God called Abraham alone. He was the one that dragged Lot along out of the goodness of his heart, you know. Lot was his nephew. Lot's father had died, Abraham's brother. So, you know, but God called Abraham alone. God calls you alone. He's going to show you great things alone. And he's going to bring you to that greatness that he promised you alone. You know, you drag others along. They might actually drag you down. This Lot was actually dragging Abraham down. But anyways, as he went, the Lord now said to Abraham, aha, I got you right where I want you. Come out here, I want to show you something, he said. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are right now. And never mind what happened before, the land that Lot got from you and all that. Don't worry about it. That's in the past. But where you are, from where you are right now, I want you to look forward. Look all around you, do a 360, everything. For all that you can see now. You got to see more, though, in this experience that Abraham was with the Lord. He had to see more in order to get more. It's just that simple. The Lord laid it out there. All that you can see, all the land that you can see, that's what I'm going to give to you. Now, if I were Abraham, I'd wipe my eyes, try to see more. How do you see more? You got to climb a little higher. You got to go to higher ground because your horizon, the line, the imaginary line where the earth seems to meet the sky is a function of the height and distance of where you are. The higher up you are, the farther out you can see. And sometimes there'll be some things in the line, your line of sight, that'll be blocking you. In my neighborhood here, if I come out and the Lord told me, well, look around and see how, whatever you can see, I can get. I can't do it because I can't see anything. There's houses everywhere. You know, there's houses right across the street from me. I can't see past them, you know, because they are blocking my view. But if I found a way to rise up higher than all those things that were blocking my view, then I could probably see much farther out. See? That's how it works. That's why we have these, you know, lighthouses, the tower, the watchtowers. They are always built higher out, up, so that you can see out. If you go on a high-rise building and look through the window, you can see much more than you can when you're at the ground. On the ground floor, you look around, all you see is trees, you know, that are blocking your view. You go up higher, see? You can see more. Glory to God. So you find that even to see more, you know, it's a function of where you are, the height that you are in. So that's why we tie these things together today, that you got to go higher. You got to press forward. You got to go higher. Mount up with wings as eagles. When we were doing this consecration, I'm telling you that eagles, they're not like chicken roosting on the ground, scratching the soil, scratching the ground. No, you know, chickens are always scratching. Eagles are flying high. However, on the last day, a great day after the consecration, the Lord told us we have lift off. Lift off is rocket. Rockets can go even higher than eagles. Eagles can go where no other birds can go. But even eagles are no match for a rocket. God wants you to launch out. He told, in Luke chapter 5, he told Peter, launch out into the deep and let your net out for a draught. You know, well, Peter said, well, I've been there, done that. Jesus said, no, do it again. Glory to God. But when you are going to do it, I'm going to give you strategy and instruction, but you can't do it from the banks. Because they had, you know, washed out their nets, pulled the boats in, and they were now on the shore, like giving up. Jesus said, no, go out back out there into the deep. You got to go deeper, deeper. Praise God. You got to go deeper. Now, so pressing forward, going farther, going deeper, even deeper beyond the veil. You know, there are many things to be discovered. We've taught many times about the layout of the Tabernacle of Witness and the temple grounds and so forth. You know, way out there, you don't even belong. You know, the Gentiles, they didn't even belong. You know, they were separated by the perimeter. But even the groups that belonged, they were separated. There was always some division. You guys are not good enough to go inside, you know, the holy place. You know, only the priests can go. So there's a veil. You can't come in here. You know. And then among the priests also, well, you guys are not good enough. You can't come in. Only one person, only the high priest can go in there. There's always these separations and these things that keep people out. Keep them out. It's like divide and conquer. They doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Keep them out. You are not good enough to go in there. Keep them out. Well, Jesus, you know, dealt away with all of that. Matthew 27, at his death, that all those veils and everything were rent in two. Enough of that already. Now you have access to go through. Don't keep yourself out though. Some people kept themselves out. See, instead of going in, they said, no, we can't go in. The Lord told them, Exodus 19 and 5 and 6 said, come, come, you will be something to me. I have chosen you to be a generation of priests, but you've got to obey my voice. If you obey my voice, indeed, you will be unto me a peculiar treasure above all people. You'll be a royal priesthood, you know, a chosen generation. You'll be all these things. At first they say, yeah, but you say, you got to obey my voice. It's about obeying my voice. They say, yeah, we'll do it. And then when the voice came, they say, oh, no, we can't do it. We can't hear that voice. If we hear that voice, we will die. So they disqualified themselves. They said, we can't do it. You, Moses, you go do it. You come tell us. You know, for me personally, that's one of the most, I mean, the saddest things I've seen already in that Bible. When God puts out an invitation there for you to hear his voice. Now, this is the thing. This is the height of our spiritual experience with God, is to hear him directly. My sheep hear my voice. That's it. You know, with the word that we've been reading, I've been teaching us, the logos been teaching us, it's now become the rhema. You're now hearing him directly. People say, no, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. If we hear his voice, we would die. They removed far away in Exodus 20. They didn't want to hear that voice. They said, Moses, you go here. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's how Moses became a prophet unto them. There would have been no need for Moses to be a prophet. All of them would have been prophetic. All of them would have been in the same realm to hear directly from God. You will be a kingdom of priests. You hear directly from me. I said, no. Okay. So they disqualify themselves, you know, but don't disqualify yourself. And there's no reason anymore, because the things that used to disqualify us, the veils have kept us out. You can't go in there. You're not holy enough. Those veils have been turned in Matthew 27. The veil was turned top to bottom, ripped apart. So now that means you now have access, boldness to the throne of grace. Let anything, well, there are some veils that are still keeping people out, you know, sin consciousness, especially when the people think, well, I'm not good enough. Well, you'll never be good enough. If you're waiting until you're good enough, you will never be good enough. Jesus is the one that qualifies you. And he said in John 15 and 16, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. I've qualified you. That's right. It's not because, I mean, all the people that Jesus chose, they were fish, bunch of fishermen. They were not even learned people. And, you know, just chose them. He knew what he was doing, though. Because he knew them even before they knew themselves. Even before they were born, Jesus knew them. And he chose them, not because they were learned or educated or whatever. No. When he chose them, though, he qualified them for service. Give them instruction. Give them the word. For many years, the word prepared them. And then the Holy Spirit came. Now they have menorah. Now they can, you know, they can really flourish in the things of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go deeper. You can't be satisfied with status quo. You got to go deeper. You know, there's something that we need more of. What is that? The presence of God. The presence of God is what activates the power of God. You know, the power of God, you know, power is always there. You know, in Luke chapter 5 or 17, we're told that Jesus was in a certain place, you know, teaching, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. But I guarantee you, it wasn't everybody that was healed. In fact, we don't even know that many of them were healed. We do know that somebody was healed, though. Somebody that wanted more. They would not take a no. They climbed up through the roof, brought the person down, tore the roof down. It wasn't even their own roof, but they didn't care what they had to do. They wanted more. They were the ones that received healing for their friends, you know. Now, you got to want more. You know, when the Gideon, when the angel visited him, says to him, thou mighty man of valor, and so forth like that. Gideon looks around, trying to see who this man is talking. Doesn't even know at the time that it's the angel of the Lord. Looking around, say, who is he talking about? Me? I said, yeah, you. He said, mighty man of valor. You know, where are all those miracles? If the Lord be with us, you're saying the Lord is with me. Well, where are those miracles that we've heard? If the Lord be, this man was not satisfied with the status quo. You say the Lord is with us. Well, then show me those miracles that we heard before. You know, if you say I'm a man of valor, then show me some valiant acts in my life. Yeah. Same thing that Moses said. You said to me that you know me by name. Exodus 33. You said you know me by name. You said I found grace in your heart. Then show me stuff. They were not satisfied with the status quo. They wanted more. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 7 verse 37, there's something that you will experience. you know, it'll be like the river of life. Same experience like Ezekiel 47. Out of your belly flow forth rivers of living water. So something, you know, it's continually flowing. Something that's going to do, bring something out in your life every day, you know. But we must press forward. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 12, he said, look, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God is now preached. And you got to press into it. Some people are pressing into it and taking it by force. You got to press into it. You got to press into it. Every man is now pressing into it. You got to press into it. You got to take it by force. You got to want it. If you don't want it, and you're not pressing into it, well, there are many degrees in the things of God. Many, many degrees. Not everybody's, you know, at the same level, but we can all have a great desire for God. God's the one that decides who, what he's going to give, but you got to have that desire. And we know that even that desire comes from God. See, but God knows where to place that desire. Philippians 2 and 13 says, it is God that worketh in us both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. But you got to want it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 to 41, we read about varying degrees in the things of God. You know, one star differeth from another in glory, you know, and all of these things. You know, there are various things that God, we can discover. And many of us have not even discovered much of anything at all. You know, we just, you know, we are complacent in our quest, the things of God. We're more concerned about, you know, developing in the natural only. We have not given time to develop in the things of God. You know, there is a glory of the celestial, we're told. It's a glory of the terrestrial. There's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, one glory of this. One star differeth from another in glory. There are different dimensions and different things, you know, that we can experience from God. You know, even spiritual gifts. Paul talks about seeking the best spiritual gifts. So that means, well, there are some more, some higher things. And different things like that, you know. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we learn in verses 11 to 15, we learn about gold, silver, precious stones. There's also wood, hay, and stubble. Well, are we going to be satisfied with wood, hay and stubble? Those things can't survive in the fire. They're going to burn. Or are you going to go for the gold? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones? Or is it gold? I mean, is it gold or is it wood? Is it silver or is it hay? Is it precious stones or is it stubble? Which one is it? What are our walks building up to? Praise the Lord. You know, you got to press for the gold. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, you know, Paul himself describes, you know, how, you know, we must purge ourselves in order to be fit for the master's use. He said, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver and precious things and so forth, but there are also some of wood and earth. You know, but if you purge yourself from this, you know, then you'll be a vessel meet for the master's use, honored, sanctified, ready for the master, prepared unto every good work and so on. Praise the Lord. Now, in the spiritual things, you know, what you know today is nothing as you ought to know yet. 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. So if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows not yet anything like he ought to know. That's right. And the reason is that there's so much more. Show me thy way, Lord. So much more to learn. Now, as you prepare your heart, come into September to remember, you know, open up your heart to discover the glories of God, to experience something you've never experienced before. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Don't be satisfied with hearing somebody else's testimony. What about you? Come expecting the glory and the virtues of God to flood your heart. Praise God. Now, I want to talk about every area of our life on which we must break forth on every side. We got to break forth. Isaiah chapter 54 talks about breaking forth with no limits. You've got to, you know, want to experience this though. There's a drive. You know, there's that kind of drive where we want to see more, do more, get more, and so forth. Not just worldly things now. You know, many people are driven, some people are driven only in worldly things. They're not driven in spiritual things like that. Well, you know, we need to be driven. Driven for the things of God. Jesus said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they are the ones that will be filled. Blessed are they, Matthew 5 and 6. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, wanting more. They are the ones that will be filled. Let's read the words of Isaiah 54. Speaking for the Lord. This prophet of the Lord downloaded many things. And if we can latch on to some of these things, powerful, powerful stuff. Isaiah chapter 54, he says, enlarge the place of thy tent. That's do more, see more. You know, let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, strengthen thy cords and lengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. You know, and I see shall inherit the Gentiles and so forth. Break forth with no limits on the right, on the left, everywhere. Now, physically, materially, spiritually, in every which way. At September to remember, we will also be believing God for advancement in every area. We've talked about, over the last couple of years, we've talked about emerging. We've talked about your epic story. We talked about pushing old limits, you know, increasing and celebrating. Well, these are all the things that we must expect. And the Lord has told me that I got to build up anticipation and expectation as we go towards, you know, this event. And then last few days before it, we're going to just read some Psalms, different things, see what the Lord's going to do. Now, today, I want to let you know that if we are able to believe for more, God is able to do more. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, but it's according, and I've taught this lesson also before, it is according to the power that works in us. You know, so it's according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3 and 20. We know that there is no limit to what God can do. And then, you know, there's no limit to what you also can experience from God. But it is limited by the power that works in you. In other words, the level of his power, the level of his glory, the level of what's been revealed to you. If you don't have an understanding of it, you can't get it. You know, as a little child, you know, they can't, some of them can't think beyond 100. Ask them to count, and they count to some number, they stop. That's the level of their understanding. You know, and even there are people in this room, some people can count beyond others, the level of your understanding. Well, God is unlimited in every fashion. So if the level of your understanding is 100, well, if God gives you 200, you'll be shouting for joy because you've done more, you know. But for the person whose level is starts at 300, 200 will not be more. It will not even be equal. They would have to get more and more, you know. So I'm just using those numbers to explain the concept. It's according to the power that works in you. But we got to keep, there's something that we must do. There's a part that we must do. Our part is called pressing forward. Going further. Going deeper. Climbing higher. Moving on. And not just staying in the same place. Launching out into the deep. Well, there are many, many ways in which we can do that. Let me share some thoughts on how we can do these things. Even practical ways that we can get more from the Lord. You know, suppose, just think about it. Suppose you're somebody that can't pray very long. You pray for 5 minutes, you're distracted already, or you're, that's it. That's the level of how much you can go. What do you think you can get from the Lord by praying for 5 minutes? Just think about it. Did Jesus only pray for 5 minutes? I mean, early in the morning, rising up a great deal before break of day, the disciples would be looking for him. They'd find him somewhere on the mountain praying. You know, yeah, praying before daytime, spending hours in prayer, always praying. When it was even time to fast, did he fast for one day? No. Jesus was always going the full length, you know, drawing out, you know, his soul to the Lord, to the Father, and the Father also responding. Now, you know, if we are used to only a few words in prayer, either you kneel, you stand, you bow, you do whatever, but just a few words and then you run off, well, you really can't connect like that. So some practical ways, even in getting more from God, start with prayer. And if you've only known how to pray 5 minutes, pray double that. Pray triple that. Force yourself to do it. At first, the flesh won't like it. Your flesh doesn't want any part of God. That's why the moment you're trying to be silent before the Lord and to get connected, there's going to be something, some distraction that comes to your mind. Even religious thoughts can be a distraction. There's a time for everything, you know. That's a time to be silent before the Lord of the whole earth. Let his presence soak in. That's not the time to go listen to some replay. Every religious thought, anybody would distract you. You pick up your phone and say, I want to go listen to that replay. No, it's not only your phone that you will, your replay that you will find. Some, your WhatsApp message or something else will jump up in front of you. And then all of a sudden you are distracted. Started out by what seemed innocent. I mean, look, I need to go listen to that replay. No. It's a time for that. Right now, be in the presence of the Lord and be there. Praise God, you know. Then it is time for, set a good time. Set a time apart for listening to replay and listen to this or listen to some sermon by some preacher. All those stuff are good, but not in the moment when you are trying to be in his presence. The devil is a trickster. He's a master at it. Get you distracted. You know, that's why Jesus used to get away from the people. You know, get away. And sometimes it's so hard to get away though, but you got to practice how to do it. You're going to have to separate yourself. Find that place. That's a place where no foul knoweth. You got to find that place where you can hide yourself in him, where he can reveal. Take me to that place, to that secret place, where I can gaze upon you, where I can be like you. You got to find that place. You know, those are little things. What about spending time in the Word? If you've not been, you know, maybe all you've known before is our daily bread. You read something 5 minutes a day. You gotta go deeper. You know, our daily bread is not good. You know, at best, it's the show bread. It's not going to give you. I love those things. I mean, I used to use it when I was a young man, but you know, that's just something that give you 5 minutes a day to get you started. Your mind must be on the Lord the whole day for you to actually hear from God like he wants you to hear from him. It can't be just this, you know, some people call it microwave prayer or whatever. You can't. That's not going to do it. Think about it. The things of God are not shallow. Even you can't find precious stones on the surface of the earth. You can't do it. You're going to have to dig and dig and dig and do exploration. Some people dig for months and years before they find anything. Exploration teams. You know, you're not going to just be walking around on the streets and just find gold. It's not going to happen. You know, so that tells you that the things of God, the deep calls unto the deep. You're going to have to spend time. Have to pay the price. That's how we do it. Sometimes you got to put your body on the line. You know, fasting is exactly that. Put your body on the line. You got to starve the flesh at times. Deny the flesh. Jesus said, except you deny yourself. And sometimes you got to deny yourself of these things. These are little things. You know, I got to go to work. I got a family. Of course. Enoch had a family. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when he was 65 years old, he began to have, you know, sons and daughters and these things, but he also began to seek the Lord. He had sons and daughters, but he was also seeking the Lord. And he walked with God. You can walk with God daily, even though you are on your job. You know, you have sons and daughters. Enoch did have sons and daughters. It wasn't a man that was not married, so that, oh, well, my marriage is what's hindering me. Well, Jesus said, anything that hinder you, better get rid of it. You can't give any excuse. I'm not saying divorce your husband or wife. Somebody will say, Pastor Yato said that. I didn't say that. I'm using it as a metaphor. You know, even Jesus used these metaphors. You know, if your hand cuts, you know, offends you, cut it off. Jesus is not telling you to physically cut off your hand. They are metaphors. Pluck your eye off and so on. You know, so it's a metaphor that I'm using here. But, you know, get rid of anything and everything. Let's see how Enoch did it. You know, not too much is written about him, but just see the circumstances, you know, around which and how he did it, or, you know, in the midst of which he did it. From Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters in those same time that he was walking with God. At the same time he was walking with God, he was raising a family. So his family, raising a family did not prevent him from walking with God. You know. But it was a journey of a lifetime. But he finally figured it out. Was the first person to figure it out, how we can escape this death that God said we're going to die. God said it, and everybody else, Adam and the rest of them, they were all waiting to die. Enoch figured it out. You know, wow. Well, he didn't figure it out in one day, though. It took him a lifetime. What are the areas in our lives that need shaping or reshaping or resharpening, or pruning in order for us to go deeper? Yeah, over the next day or so, I'm going to go into some more details there. But this is the thing that's behind a conference such as the one we're planning to have in about a week. Yeah. Are we coming there for just a social gathering, meet some people you haven't met before? Well, if that's it, well, then you'll have your reward after you've met them. But no, I want to meet with the Lord. I want to experience something I've never experienced before. But even if I've experienced it before, I want to experience it in greater heights, greater dimensions of His glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read to you a prophetic declaration here, written by Neil Frisby in a book, a compilation called The Book of Letters to the Saints. And this is taken from page 40. You know, I want to read. So we are entering an hour of absolute urgency. God will give guidance through the scriptures, but also He will reveal His plans through divine providence and various gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural leading shall appear through a word of knowledge. And these are the things that we're expecting. Supernatural leading shall appear through a word of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, vision, or dreams. A heavy anointing generally we accompany it. This is the hour of full restoration. So be ready. That's what he says. And I'm just saying it to you in the same way. It's the hour that God has promised something unique and extraordinary. So be ready. That's right. His eye is upon those who are watching, he said. The elect will be called into position by the Spirit. Wow. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, it's a small group too. It's like the top of the pin. A small group. Jesus called them little flock. He said, little flock, don't be afraid. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It doesn't have to be a massive gathering. It can be a little flock gathering. So don't despise the day of small things. You know, worry about that. God knows what He's doing. And Jesus has a little flock in mind. He said the elect will be called into position by the Spirit, just like He positioned the creation so that it all works in unison. You know, we've been talking about this unity, you know, like the vault of the heavens. In His majestic aura, twinkling radiances of light, stars in obedience, He, Lord, gave the word. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and He stood fast. Till this day, He said, the true gifts will come into prominence again among His elect. Oh, I am so looking for that. You know, God's next move, listen to this. I love this one. You come into prominence again among His elect, but this time they will abide more in His word concerning all things. Remember, every time God sends a breaking forth of gifts, people just go after the gifts and signs and wonders. Well, that's not it. You know, anything that God does, when people start to go after and worship, God will destroy that thing. You know, I mean, when God gave them the brazen serpent, they started to worship the thing. He destroyed it. You know, so God's not going to be like that. You know, he will be first and he will be the last. He'll be the one and only in our hearts. Will not take second place. And that's why I consider the first and the last. There's nothing in between. And that's it. So now the true gifts that will come into prominence again among his elect. I am so looking forward to that. But this time around, we will abide more in his word concerning all things. We're not going to put the gifts ahead of the word. No, we're not going to do that. God's next move is to bring his bride into razor sharpness. Isn't that beautiful? Perfecting them in the mysteries and the spirit of God. Well, I said God's next move is to glorify the church. It sounds like glorification of the church to me too. The next thing that God is about to do is to bring out that glorious church. Because that's it. We've seen those that he did for Noah. We've seen them. We've seen them. He called them. We've seen them justify them. You know, but now we need to see glorified. He said he also glorified. We need to see a cleansing of worship and washing by the word. We need to see a regeneration, something within our lives that's like the first time. This is how you're going to know that God is really doing something with you. When you come into that conference or at any time in your life, and there's a fire in your heart again. In Luke chapter 24, the disciples that Jesus met on the road to Emmaus, you know, he said, you know, they said finally, wow, did not our hearts burn within us? Why, you talk to us along the way? You know, something is going to light up. God's going to light a fire inside of you. That's it. And the Lord will reward your work. Your work shall be rewarded. Because he said, go to the mountain, bring the wood, and build with me. And I would take pleasure in it. Some of you have had to fight to get time off. You have to juggle things. You have to move things around. Some people have to even move finances around and so forth to do this thing, to get there. Well, the Lord will reward your work. I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified in it. But you must be expecting. He said there is going to be a perfecting of the saints that's coming, you know. And he said here, he said, we are in a time. Wow. Look at this. We're in a time wherein Paul wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and 14. Wow. That's just the summary of everything we've been talking about. I said, we're in that time where Paul is pressing. Paul said, I am pressing in. Well, are you pressing in? Are we pressing in? Well, let's press in. You know, I'm going all the way. Don't even try. I'm telling the devil, I put the devil on notice already. Don't even try. Turn me around. You can't do it. I'm going all the way. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, any man having put his hands on the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. So you got your hands on the plow. Keep your eyes on the prize and keep moving forward. What we've attained today, well, that's great. Let's praise the Lord for it, but we got to get more. We got to find out more. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Why? Well, because he wants us to do some digging. You know, it is the honor of kings, though, to search out the matter. We proved that the other day. You are those kings that need to search it out. You know, when God chooses to hide something, Jesus said, Bible said, what? Matthew 11 and 25 and other places, that he rejoiced in the spirit. and said, Father, I thank you because it has pleased you, you know, to hide these things from the wise and the prudent. But everything God hides, he may hide it from some, but he will reveal it to others. He hides it from those who are wise in their own conceits. But he reveals them to babes. That's right. For there shall nothing be hidden that shall not be known. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. So Jesus said that, and we know that. Let's press in to learn these things. To God be the glory. Let's press in. What are the things that God would reveal to us? What deep things of the Spirit will God show you? Will he show you these things only so that you can be puffed up in knowledge? No, because knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. When he, Lord, brings us into the closer dimension of his Spirit, it is so that we can love him more. We can do more. We can understand more. The nature, be more like God so that we can become more like him. You know, part of all of that is, you know, becoming champions of faith is something that Enoch figured out. And that's what got him translated. Hebrews 11 will tell you that. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you see how he laid out the argument and the sequence? You know, just laid it out like that, one by one. You know, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It was his faith. That's the thing that pleased God. That's the thing that got him translated. Well, how are we going to get that kind of faith? Well, I believe that God is going to be transforming. Now, he's doing it already, but more so, that's the theme of the conference. Transforming believers into champions of faith like Enoch. I'll tell you more about the champions of faith later on, perhaps during the conference. But anyway, this is it. This is my desire to be more like you, Lord. To know more of the things that are freely, the things that God has held back, that's up unto him. Deuteronomy 29, 29. If he has held them back, well, that's his choice. But if he has revealed them, then we've got to find it out. And I guarantee you, he's revealing more and more. Every time he opened a seal, a voice said to John, come and see. There's more revelation. Open another one. Come and see. Open yet another one. Come and see. Open yet another one. Until finally the book was open. When the book was now fully open, I saw a mighty angel. He said in Revelation 10. Glory to God. I saw a mighty angel. Now that the book is open, he said, well, come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. You know, his feet, face were as the sun, his feet were a pillar of fire, and there was a little book open in his hand. See, the book is now open. The book that made John to cry because it was sealed and there was nobody to read it. I mean, open it or read it for him. Well, now the book is open. It's in the hand of this mighty angel. He's ready, mighty warrior, ready to possess. His foot upon the sea. Right foot upon the sea, left foot upon the earth. He's ready to possess now. And he cried with a loud voice. That's when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when those seven thunders uttered their voices, John heard everything they said. All the things that had been hidden, he heard it. He heard it. Paul said, look, I heard some things that I cannot even be uttered right now. That I, you know, in the book of Hebrews, the writer said, you know, there are some things to tell you about this Melchizedek that I can't even say now. You know, wow. That this, what are all these things that people keep alluding to that can't be said? Come and find out. You know, now he says, look, cry with a loud voice. Seven thunders uttered their voice. And when they uttered, I was about to write. Because he heard. He understood it. You know, how can you understand what is being thundered? Well, he did. And I was about to write. But that's the instruction he was given at the beginning. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which are yet to be, and send them in a book to the seven churches. And so, following that instruction, picked up his pen to write the things which the seven thunders uttered, because he heard what they uttered. And there was a counter instruction this time around. You know, said I was about to write. I picked up my pen and I was about to write. And the instruction said, seal up those things with the seven thunders ordered and write them not. Wow. Why? Well, if he wrote them at that time, devil will get a hold of it. And he'll mess it up as he had done to everything that God had ever brought. Every revival, everything that God starts, the devil get in there and mess it up. But not this time around, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. But God is going to put these things, you know, in the hands of some guardians. Guardians of the faith. Jesus said, a man that has my word and keeps them. It's like guardians. Guardians of the mysteries of God. Paul said to Timothy, those things that you have heard and you have learned of me and you've seen among many witnesses, well, do them and give them to some guardians that can also give them to others. Not to everybody. Cast not your pearls before swine and give not that which is holy unto dogs. But there's a reason for it. But at the end, Daniel was told, Daniel, go thy way. See, scripture interprets scripture. Daniel chapter 12. After Daniel saw those tremendous revelations and some things, he even fainted. He couldn't even understand them all. Said, oh, my strength got out of me. I couldn't figure it out. I was astonished many days. I just stood there. The Lord said, well, yeah, you know, just go your way. Seal up those things for now. You know, but it's only for now. But because at the end, something unique and extraordinary is going to take place. The wise, he said, shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, they're going to shine. To God be the glory. They will shine finally. hallelujah. Well, let's not say they. We will shine. And it was told, shut up the words and seal these things to the time of the end. That's what it was told. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9. But thou, Daniel, go thy way. For those words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Well, he put a time on it though. He did. You know, he could have said those words are sealed and just left it like that. Closed up and sealed. That's it. Wow. But he didn't say it like that. He said those words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, at the time of the end, they will be unsealed. That's it. Because that's what he said. And the unsealing will reveal the purification. Many will be purified. Many will be made white. Many will be tried too. You know, the wise will do wickedly. We know that. You know, it's let him that is holy be holy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous. That's a line that is drawn in the sand at one point in time. And we're getting close to that line. You know, and you know, he said, well, something unique and extraordinary is going to happen. You know, go that way. He said, till the end be. Let's go that way. Now, we are at the end of the age. If any generation is close to the end, I think we are. And these things we must discover. God, I held back these things, but it's now being revealed. You know, even angels are trying to figure it out. Well, Satan himself, sometimes he disguises himself as an angel of light in order to try to figure it out. You know, hide among the church. Listen to this in Ephesians 3. I'll read this and then I'll close up for today. You know, unto me who am least, I mean less than the least of all saints, is this grace given unto me. Glory to God. You know, that I should understand something and preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To God be the glory. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden inside God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent was hidden for a purpose. Hidden on a purpose that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, even through the church. The manifold wisdom of God. You know, there are some things that God will reveal only to the church at the end. Not even these principalities, not even these powers. They're going to be trying to figure it out. You know, but God has hidden it and is now revealing them unto the babes. According to the manifold wisdom of God and according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. That eternal purpose is bound up in those things that were hidden in God, now being revealed. God be the glory. Whereof he said, I made a minister. Well, I give God honor and praise that he has called me also to be a minister of these things. That the ministers of the tabernacle, the ministers of these things. And ye also are partakers of Christ, partakers with us the same thing, joint heirs. Minister is not better than another. God just choose to send his word through somebody. We all come in the unity of the faith. So that same thing, everybody. God be the glory. These are the things we are looking forward to. So thank you for listening. That's our exhortation today. Let us desire these things. I say these as, you know, what you might call tidbits, different things, you know, put it out there, you know, to inspire anticipation in your hearts. Wow. What else will God do? God be the glory. What else will God show? What else will God reveal? I need to make myself a vessel of honor, ready and fit for the master's use. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children that are here today listening, and those who have been in and out of the room that have listened, and those who will listen later on. There is an anticipation that is building in the spirit. There's an urgency of the spirit that is upon us, and we are coming to meet with God. Glory to God. God has called for a day and a time and a gathering. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And Lord, I know that whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. You already done it. It's done. It's finished. It's sealed, signed, and delivered. To God be the glory. And we will experience it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I pray, Lord, that there will be an inspiration that will rise, in the minds and hearts of everybody. The impact of these things will be to inspire a compelling motivation in our hearts to want to be part of that, that we receive the deep things of God God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise. We're looking forward to an experience, an encounter with God that will stay with us for years. One that will not be soon forgotten. September to remember. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.